Welcome to Bridging the Gap. I'm David McDonald. On today's show, we're going to be speaking with Father Bob Bedard, who is the founder of the Companions of the Cross, which is one of the fastest growing orders of priests in North America right now. They're spreading out right across Canada and into the United States. He's also the author of 7 books, including Reflections of a Veteran Priest, and the host of the popular TV show Food for Life, which appears on Vision TV Sundays at 2:30 and across North America. Today we're going to be speaking about suffering and healing. A few weeks back we had Hala on, and she was speaking about how she was healed of a 5.7 centimeter tumorous cancerous growth that was in her throat, and she was completely healed of it. And she's been traveling across North America and telling her story and singing again. Well, today we're going to speak about the dynamics of healing and how that happens and some other circumstances of healing that Father Bob has experienced. We're also going to talk about suffering. What happens when we pray for healing and it doesn't happen? Please join us for the next 30 minutes on Bridging the Gap. Father Bob, you have had some experiences where you've been in Mass and some people have been healed. Let's start out this conversation with speaking about some of those circumstances.
Yeah, like I know when I was sort of beginning to pick up the sense of the Holy Spirit's presence and power, I was led to pray for some people who had ailments. One girl who hadn't slept for quite a while, I prayed with her, and she slept that night. After 5 weeks without a wink of sleep, she slept that night.
Wow.
That was really the first. And I was absolutely amazed. I was dumbfounded. I'm thinking, good heaven, what is this? Is this the power of suggestion I'm looking at? And I realized that it's not the power of suggestion, it's the power of God. Good heavens.
Yeah.
And then a young man with a terrible toothache, I remember praying for him, and the toothache went away just like a snap of a finger.
Mm.
And I used to tell some of these stories to others in groups of people where I'd be invited to speak and all that. And inevitably, when I'd say something like that, people would come up and ask for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
They'd say, well, maybe this guy is, he's got some secret power here. Does it, of course. It's the power of God. We just need to be open to it. But the whole healing of teeth and dental problems was something that I began to experience quite a bit of.
Mm.
And I realized that this was right out of proportion to everything else I was praying for. You know, complaining to the Lord one time, like, well, not complaining, but confused. Sure. Like, why is it when I pray for teeth that there's such success, and I pray for other things there's not so much success? And it's like the Lord is reminding you, well, it's because... don't you remember what you wanted to be before you became a priest? You wanted to be a dentist.
Oh,
I said, of course that's true. I forgot about that. It's like the Lord was saying, you want to fix teeth? Well, fix teeth, you know. Go ahead, you know, do both.
Sure.
God has an incredible sense of humor. Incredible. So that's one of the most blatant senses, examples of God's humor that I've ever experienced. It's just amazing.
That's amazing, yes.
Yeah, a few years ago, I remember... talking to a woman of the parish who said she was so confused one Sunday when she limped up to Holy Communion at communion time with a badly bruised foot and ankle. She had dropped something like a curling iron, you know, like you play curling, heavy, heavy metal object, I don't know what it was, and had really damaged her foot, and she was just in tremendous pain, limping to the front. As soon as she received communion, she said the pain went away, just like that.
Wow.
And she was really confused. I said, what's happening up there? Now, I kind of think that this woman wasn't all that much into lively faith kind of thing.
Right.
More of a sort of, by rote. You know, you do what you're supposed to do, and you don't expect anything to happen as a result of it. Because I think what was behind your question is, like, if you got some potion up there that you say some things or something that conjure up healing, something like that, you know. And of course, I assured her, no. I said, well, that's what it was. She said, you know, it was so unexpected. She said, I had promised my children, this was in the winter, that I was going to take them to the closing of the winter carnival. And there was the ice was perfect, you know, sort of thing. And I wasn't going to be able to skate, but I was going to walk over, to go with them out of the car and walk along with them on the canal. Really looking forward to that. And then this accident happened last night. She said, I could hardly stand up, she said. So now, she says, I'll be able to do it. And she said, I said, well, there you go. Like God is, you got to know, God is very interested in even the little parts of your life. Mm. You know, He wants your children to have a good day. Mm. In order for them to enjoy the whole thing, they're going to need you to be there to take them over and kind of participate yourself. So that's why He's done it. She looked at me with a lot of quizzicality, if I could use a word like that. Yeah, I don't think I convinced her about that, but she was quite happy to get the healing. Another occasion, there was a young fellow who I think was just past the time when he made his first communion. He went to communion for the first time, maybe a Sunday or two before.
Oh, wow. He must have been very young.
Yeah, he was only maybe, 6 years old, something like that.
Okay.
And he had a bad allergy. He did, sort of thing. It was just something that he suffered with. And when he came to church that morning with his family, he was suffering tremendously with this allergy. His eyes were swollen and so on. It was it's a tough thing. Allergies can be really, really, really bad. So here's this 6-year-old suffering about it. Anyway, he comes up with his family to communion and then goes back, and they're sitting down in the church somewhere, down towards the back, I think. And he gets in. His parents are kneeling now after communion, saying some prayer, you know, praying to the Lord in thanksgiving, I guess. And he starts to elbow his father, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy!" I said, "Don't disturb! Don't disturb. People are praying here." People. Mm-hmm. He said, "But Daddy, Daddy, look at my eyes! Look at my eyes!" And the father looked at the eyes, and they were absolutely clear.
Wow.
And he said, "Do you mean to say, are they not itchy anymore?" No, they're not. No, they're great. The whole thing is gone. He experienced a healing of this allergy just receiving communion. It happened, the little boy said afterwards, the minute that he took the wine, took the chalice, the cup with the wine that has been consecrated, the blood of Christ, and put that to his lips and drank some of that. That it happened right away.
Wow.
It just happened like that.
And the allergy didn't come back?
No, that was it. The allergy was gone.
Wow.
So that was very encouraging, just amazing. I remember one time, too, a woman who was sort of full of pain. She had pain in every body, every bone and muscle of her body. She was an elderly soul. She would have been, she'd been in her 70s, and maybe pushing up towards 80 or something like that. And she was in great pain. Anyway, her husband brought her to church one Sunday, I guess it was, or Saturday afternoon, I think, for the Saturday afternoon Mass. At that time, we used to invite people up after for prayers for healing. And she came up, and I remember praying for her and other people. Anyway, the next day, they came back to church. For the first Mass. And I saw the fellow walking in, he was quite elderly too, but he walked quite well. And then I saw her stomping along after him, looking just as prim and proper and refreshed as I'd ever seen her. And afterwards, I found them, I sought them out, and I said, "You're feeling quite a bit better, are you?" "Oh," she said, "yes. We had prayer after Mass there yesterday. She said, all my symptoms went away. I feel absolutely fine." No pain. My goodness, really. Well, praise God. Isn't that amazing how he does things? Well, you don't even know he's doing it. You know, it's amazing. Just yesterday, I was talking to a woman who went to a healing service that one of our young priests was conducting the other night at St. Morris's Church. And she'd been in pain, she said, with her back and knees, everything else, joints, for 15 years. And she went up for prayer afterwards and realized that after she had received the prayer, that her pain was going away. She used to walk with a walker, without which she couldn't go any more than a few steps. And all of these steps are very painful, and it was quite evident that they were. Her whole story is quite interesting. Her conversion, which preceded this healing by about 3 or 4 years, I guess. She came in and she didn't have her walker. I said, "Well, where is her? How did you manage all this?" Well, she said, "I was healed. I was healed." What day was she in? She was in Thursday. It was Tuesday. She was. I was healed on Tuesday night. I said, "Really?" Yeah, she said, "Look," and she walked right down the hall and turned around and sort of jogged back and then started to go up the stairs and come down the stairs. Wow.
When somebody comes to a healing service and if they don't get healed, how should this person look at it? Should they look at it that there might be something wrong with their faith, or how should they consider this?
Unfortunately, David, there are some people who teach just that. That if you don't get the healing, it means your faith is deficient. And that, to me, is one of the cruelest things you could possibly say to anybody. And besides that, it's not true. It doesn't depend on that. St. Paul himself suffered. St. Paul talked about the thorn in his flesh. If you have the faith to be healed, that's one of the Corinthian gifts. That's a special kind of faith. Somehow the Lord tells you that you are going to be healed right now. And that's a totally different thing, and that's great. But ordinarily, you don't know if you're going to be healed. And you pray. When you go to get prayer for healing, always expect some answer. Because when the Lord hears our prayers, he takes them to heart, as it were, and he answers the prayers in some way. Expect a blessing of some kind. Expect a good, solid blessing from God. Maybe the healing that you're looking for, maybe not. But if you don't get it, then keep asking, of course. Jesus said that clearly a couple of times in Luke's Gospel, chapters 11 and 18, I think, where the fellow goes next door and asks for food for visitors that have just arrived late at night, and the man and the neighbor says, "No, we're in bed now, we're not getting up, so too bad." And Jesus said, if the fellow keeps knocking on the door, the neighbor will have to get up, because he won't be able to sleep. He's got to have to get up. So keep asking your Heavenly Father like that. Your Heavenly Father is not going to give you a stone if you ask for a piece of bread. In other words, he cares. He cares. In chapter 18, there was the widow who was complaining about the unjust judge. You know, "I want I want justice," she said. And the judge finally says, this is a little parable Jesus uses. The judge finally says, "Look, if I don't give this woman what she wants, she's going to wind up by driving me out of my mind. So I'm going to give her what she wants." And Jesus uses that again to say, persevere. You know, in other words, don't let God off the hook. Keep after, persevere in prayer. But if it doesn't wind up that you get the healing that you need, then you will be blessed in other ways. And don't waste the pain. If it's pain, don't waste it. Give it to the Lord. Great blessings will accrue from it.
It's kind of a hard sell, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
To sell suffering is a good thing.
I know. Suffering can be used. We have that scripture quote, Colossians 1:24, "We make up in our own bodies what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ." It's a rather amazing statement. Lacking in the sufferings of Christ? Could there be anything lacking? Jesus' sufferings, the shedding of his blood and everything, one salvation for the whole world, Everybody can be saved, can be, but not without wanting to be or choosing to be. Reality of the thing is, in spite of the fact that Jesus has done that to make salvation possible for everybody, not everybody is buying into it. Some people just refuse. They're not interested in what he has to offer. So what we can do is to offer the suffering we have in our own bodies, physical suffering, and add it to the sufferings of Christ so that the efficacious grace, if you like, can be achieved for some people who just won't buy it otherwise. So we can participate in the sufferings in the cross of Jesus for the conversion of the world, and it's a great honor. Some people are sort of quite ill and have a lot of pain and so on. I mean, they'll ask for healing, but if they don't get it, they're offering it up, and that's marvelous. I'm positive that a lot of the conversions in unexpected conversions in the lives of unlikely people, if I could use that word, are achieved through adding to Christ's sufferings the sufferings that we ourselves are undergoing. One of the slogans that I've continually mentioned to people is don't waste pain. If you got pain, for heaven's sake, don't waste it, you know. Offer it up, you know. Pray for healing, sure. But until you get the healing, or if you don't get the healing, give it to the Lord. Say, hey, this, you take this and add it to the sufferings here of Jesus, your son, and develop what you can with it. Develop what you will. You know, touch somebody's life, turn them around, bring them to their knees and all that, bring them to surrender and so on. That's the wonder of suffering. So don't waste pain. You got pain? Give it to the Lord. He can use it.
And we can help perhaps people in other parts of the world through our suffering, just offering that up to the Lord. That word offering it up, Catholics will sometimes say the word offer it up. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's right. It's a kind of a slogan, isn't it, in the church? Oh, well, offer it up. Offer it up. Oh, it just simply means, Lord, please take this suffering and add it to the sufferings of Jesus so that it can be effective in bringing about some blessing in your plan. The conversion of somebody, or a healing for somebody else, or who knows what, Lord, a job, a door open for a job for somebody, and so on. Just please use it. You know, don't waste the pain. The pain can be used somewhere else.
And it doesn't matter how small our request to the Lord is.
No. I remember the very first time I went to a prayer meeting, they were finishing up with asking for intention, for needs. And one woman asked that the Lord would help her to rent her spare room. And I'm there for the first time at one of these, and I'm thinking to myself, that is just ridiculous. And I'm saying, as it were, to myself, don't ask God for something like that. He's too busy, for heaven's sake. If you want to rent your room, put an ad in the paper like anybody else. And yet, this little request of hers is something the Lord is interested in. He's interested in everything.
He has nothing better to do than to follow me all day long.
Absolutely right. You know, that's one of the truths of the Christian gospel, is that God is so centered upon you, it's like nobody else matters. Your Father is so completely focused upon you, it's like you're the only person living. And you might say, well, how can he do that? Well, he can do that because he's a God. Your own father couldn't possibly do that. If your father had four children, he couldn't give all four his total undivided attention. But God can do it, and he does do it. You are immediately before his eyes right now and always. But like the whole suffering thing, like where does suffering come from? Suffering comes from sin. Suffering has entered the world because of sin. But it isn't like my sin causes my suffering, ordinarily, no. Maybe it can, like I say, if I'm drinking or something like that, you know, that could I can bring on my own suffering of that kind. But not necessarily all suffering at all. In fact, most suffering is not the result of my sin. But suffering is a result of human sin. The weight of human sin causes the weight of human evil, the weight of human suffering. The more sin there is in the world, the more suffering there's going to be. And, you know, that kind of thing. That's where suffering comes from. And Jesus has come into the world to redeem it and to redeem every part of it. And he can heal. Well, he went about healing the sick. It seems like when we read the Gospels, Jesus made only one response to somebody who had a physical ailment or a spiritual ailment, the possession by a spirit or something like that. Only one response, that was to heal it. He healed them all. Except we're told that in some places he could only heal a few in Capernaum. That I guess Nazareth was the same. Not everybody could get healed of those because of their lack of faith. So in order for the Christian healing to be successful, it's almost like we have to have a certain space where faith can exist unfettered, well, unopposed. Jesus, on one occasion, prayed for the blind man, some fellow who was blind, that he might see. And after he had prayed, he asked the fellow, can you see anything now? Mm-hmm. And the fellow said, well, yeah, I can see people, but they look like trees walking around or something. So in other words, he'd had a partial healing. So then he prayed for him again. After that, then the fellow did see. Bishop Sheen, who used to be quite a famous Catholic evangelist on television, had an interesting take on that. He said the reason that healing was so difficult was the town that they were in. He prayed for the man, but the fellow didn't get a complete healing. He prayed for him again, and he did experience the healing. So suffering is the result of human sin, the weight of human sin, not necessarily related to my particular sin.
I think that's maybe an important distinction that we need to make as Christians, that if we are suffering, well, it may be something that we've done. I mean, I blew my voice out because I did too many drugs. And, you know, the Lord has given me, you know, a beautiful healing from that I can actually speak again and sing again. On the other hand, there have been sufferings in my life that I don't know that have been brought on specifically by any sort of specific sin that was involved. Some of the scripture verses that come to mind that show that, I guess, suffering is not necessarily a bad thing. In the Philippians 1:29, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. And that really strikes me as, you know, and take up your cross and follow me in Luke 9:23. And in 1 Colossians 24, we hear, I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. And I see another scripture verse here. We also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Romans 5:1.
Wow.
And
that's great.
It's that sense that we can actually develop our character through
suffering.
Through suffering. But I'm not wanting to chase after suffering, and I don't know very many Catholics today who wear hair shirts. Do you know?
Actually, no, I don't. I've met one or two.
It sounds like we shouldn't try to run away from suffering. When I get sick, what I want to do is I just want to complain, Father.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I just want to tell everybody how miserable I am, and I want to make them miserable too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Say, oh, I'm in such pain, you know, and all this kind of stuff. It rarely occurs to me when I'm in that sort of self-centeredness to say, Lord, would you please use this suffering for the conversion of those poor, you know, politicians who are not, you know, are not walking
in your
pathway, or Lord, could you please use this suffering to help those poor victims across the world who might be, you know, famine, or they might be, you know, in a tsunami or something, who may not know the Lord Jesus, and these various ways that we can help this world to come closer to Christ. Father, what do you have to say to people when we want to just sort of dive into our suffering and just turn inwards and you know, look at our belly buttons and be there and complain and all that kind of stuff?
What do you say? Well, sure, exactly what I'd say. But I try to convince them that the things that they're suffering can be quite positive if they will give them to the Lord. And He can give you a sense of peace, really, and even an inner joy if you can do that. If you will do that, He will give you the grace to do it. The offering sufferings to the Lord can be used for the healing of other people or for the conversion of people to accomplish the Lord's will. You got pain, don't waste it. Give it to the Lord. Let Him do it. Don't be afraid to ask for healing, though. Like the healing ministry has been part of the church from the very beginning. And there are lots of healing going on in the church today. I've experienced some of it myself.
Father Bob, you've been a mentor to not only literally thousands of young people and to middle-aged people and older people, but to the clergy, to priests. You've been a real inspiration to people, and it's been because of your yes to the Lord, and that yes to the Lord is turned into physical healing for people, but also a healing of communities. Healing of St. Mary's Church, a healing of the community at large that you've been traveling in. And we're just so grateful to have you here on Bridging the Gap. We pray that you'll stay healthy and come back and visit us again really soon.
I'd be delighted, David. You're doing a wonderful job. Please keep it up, and I'm praying for you.
Section 1426 to 1430 of the Catechism, we are invited to have a second conversion, to have a personal encounter with Christ. It is a part of our Catholic faith. My prayer is that for those of you who may not have had that experience, that you will invite Christ to be the Lord of your life. If you'd like to get in contact with Bridging the Gap or order a copy of this show on CD, you can find us online at CatholicBridge.com. That's www.CatholicBridge.com. We'd love to hear from you. Until then, may God richly bless you and your family. I remember standing on that Broadway stage and thinking, and I had it made.
But David McDonald fell into addiction and lost his voice completely.
For 3 years, I communicated by writing on a notepad. I never thought I'd ever sing again.
The Lord had other plans.
I remember that emptiness inside of me, and I didn't know Jesus back then.
But on a Christian retreat, the Lord touched David's life.
I picked up a guitar, and I just started strumming on it and singing at the top of my lungs. And that night with 20 people meant more than my opening in New York. Because it was about Him.
In the Holy of Holies, we fall down before Thee. There is no end.
Life is the only choice. Available at Salem Storehouse. David's full testimony is online at www.davidmacd.com. That's www.davidmacd.com.
I want